Hey there, and welcome to Drunk History Presents the Dark Ride, a fun theme park theme podcast with zero prizes and lots of drinking. If you're a returning listener, thank you for coming back. We really appreciate it. If you're new here, well, we love that too. Welcome. My name is Adrian. I'm here with my co-host Ryan. We are two people who love all things theme parks, and we started this podcast so we can drink all about them with fellow theme parks loving fans like you. Today we are going to finish the 2023 season with a trip up to the virtual tavern for one last glass of champagne as we bring in the new year, and we're going to do that with you. So we're going to go up to the bar and we'll be right back.
The journey there was never far away, but like a dream come true that's still inside of you. The secret of tomorrow is to live your dreams today. Remember the night, remember the feeling, remember the magic in our lives.
Remember it, Adrian, remember.
Oh man, dude, I'm tearing up. That song was a banger.
Yeah, when they knew how to do stuff right.
If you were a 90s kid, you'll know this song.
Right now. You're crying right now to Brian McKnight.
You're crying right now, and we know it. Brian McKnight, Remember the Magic, was a song that they played on the commercials for Disney at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And then they also played it in the park. And it was just something that always made me like think about Disney World. Like, yeah. I'd hear it and I'd be like, oh man, Remember the Magic. It was just such a great message. And
we thought no better way. Emotional. It's been an emotional year and there's emotional songs to go along with it.
Yeah. So happy almost new year, Ryan.
Happy almost new year to you, Adrian.
This is our final ep of the year.
Thank God. Well, it happened so fast. Actually,
it did go pretty fast.
This one did go fast.
This one went fast. And
can you believe we've been doing this for like four now? This is like 4 years.
In March, we'll be doing it for 4 years.
That's wild.
It's just pretty wild. And it's moments like this when the year is ending and you reflect on things. And like, I just want to say to everyone out there, like, we started this podcast, like I say in my intro, because we wanted to talk about Disney with each other, but we continue to do it because of all of you guys that tell us how much you love it, how it's a part of your Wednesday commute, and that it gets you excited for your trips. So
it's kind of no joke, because we definitely would have given up by now if it wasn't for the fans.
We don't make money on this podcast. We're not here because we're like, you know, we're rolling in the checks. So no,
there's never been a check, not a single check. But what there has been is so many wonderful kind words and emails and reviews and phone calls and DMs and all of those things that that really make us appreciative of what you guys are you know, hearing, and that it's part of your life. And I never thought that I would be part of something that like affected so many anonymous strangers, you know.
Yeah.
People that, you know, with Adrian, it's a little maybe like slightly different because a lot of times she does put a face with the name and stuff, but that's not really, you know, my relationship with this podcast. It's really like that I see anonymous people saying things to us, and or I get like a forward from one of Adrian's DMs. Like, she forwards me every time that you guys say something lovely about us, or not that we've gotten really negative comments, but we would see that, you know, she would forward me those too. It's incredible to feel connected to this bigger world of Disney than I ever did growing up and being a fan and everything like that. I mean, when we started this podcast, for the longest time, We had, I mean, we kind of kept this mostly quiet, but like, you know, we had like our 12 listeners, and they were our 12, you know, we call them like the
12 disciples,
the 12 disciples or the 12 apostles. And, and like, you know, every week there was just like 12 listeners, and we were like, oh, come on, like, this is ridiculous. What, you know, why are we going through all this effort for just 12 people? But then you get, you know, a nice email or a nice review, and you're like, okay, well, you know, at least we're doing something right. Cause people are liking it. And then it just became more people and more people because of our friends and fans out there sharing.
And you guys sharing, like, I mean, the amount of people that share to their story, it's every time it happens. And I appreciate people like, tagging me. My handle is, it's me, Adrian, ITSMEADRIANE, because then I will see it quicker, cause that's on my account. But like every time it comes through, like, I'm always just like so touched. I just really appreciate each and every one of you more than you probably know. And we both do. And so thank you for another great year. And if you guys keep listening and keep sharing, we'll keep doing it. Well, you know, it'll go on as long as people care about it. And so thank you guys. And I think starting this way, I think there's an emotional aspect to Disney, which is why we all got sort of, we got indoctrinated, because we felt like that song, Remember the Magic, those things were things of my childhood that related to Disney that made me emotionally connected to it.
It's so funny, and like the triggers that this company can like pull, like that it has at its disposal to pull. You know, like my dad, I remember we were at the parks, and my dad and my mom, dad, and brother were watching Happily Ever After. It was right before they took it away for the first time. And me and my other brother went to go ride Space Mountain, and because that's what would have completed my Disney day, you know. And sure. And my dad, who was, you know, probably at the time, I don't know, late 50s, early 60s, something like that. And, you know, with his adult grown son and his wife, watched Hia. And then when I met them right after the show, he had, like, you know, full tears in his eye. I mean, like, tears, like, streaming down his face.
Yeah.
You know, the connections that this thing pulls on is it's crazy.
And those are the moments where you get connected to it. And then when they don't deliver on that is I think a disservice to them. And for, like you had said in one episode, for creating 40-year-old people like us to get to that state, to be a middle-aged person who still loves Disney, you had to be somebody who connected to it as a child in some way. And if they don't do that, then they're not going to have these like people that love it all their life.
Yeah. You gotta turn out the junkies early.
You gotta get them while they're young. You gotta indoctrinate them when they're young. And I think, something that recently, it just debuted December 5th at Epcot was Luminous.
The Symphony of Us.
The nighttime show, and I haven't seen it in person yet, and neither has Ryan.
This is the new show at Epcot that took over for Harmonious,
Epcot Forever, and the thing, and so I think, like, when we were younger, for me it was Illuminations.
Oh, guess what I got for you right now, baby.
Let me hear it. Lay it on me. Emotions are swelling.
Try to contain yourself, though. Don't bawl into the microphone.
That's true.
Oh yeah.
Oh, there it goes.
Oh, the lights are on, baby.
It's building.
Oh. least they kept some of these tunes for like Soarin', right? Like that's kind of like some of these tunes,
and they play them like at the entrance music sometimes. They take a lot of like Ellen's Energy Adventure, that banger like of a song. They play that at the entrance. So like with Illuminations, Reflections of Earth, a lot of people thought it was boring. I don't understand those people. I'm like, wow.
Well, it was unchanged for like 25 years.
It was unchanged for 25 years. That's fine. But even like afterwards, after that show played, they played We Go On. And We Go On is as you were leaving the park. And I remember just leaving the park with We Go On, and like the cast members would put on their like Mickey gloves and they'd wave to you. And I would be like in my mind mentally booking my next trip. Like they sold me with We Go On playing out of the park. And so I think with like a lot of these shows, which is the reason that they get pushed back, like we saw it happen with Enchantment.
This one, right?
Uh-oh. Oh, God.
This is it, right?
This is it.
This is beautiful.
It's beautiful.
This is by Kelly Coffey.
Here it comes. Built on love that we have done, and our dreams begin another thousand circles round.
Oh man,
where do you go?
Oh, I can see I can just see the Mickey gloves waving.
The Mickey gloves, yeah, right?
Oh, man.
Yeah, it's horrifying. It's horrifyingly wonderful what they did there. And I just remember it's just a solidified memory. It happened every single time. And like I think when Enchantment debuted, I think people's expectations are just so high for these things, because Enchantment came on the heels of Happily Ever After, which was like hugely beloved, and then Enchantment came and it was fine. When it first started, it was horrible. It evolved into being show.
There were some things I think about it that I really liked, like them.
Well, you didn't see when it first came out, and they did covers of their songs, which is strange. They like, you own the IP. Like, why are you doing a cover of the song? Like,
for sure. Well, that was the same thing they did with Epcot too. With Harmonious had like covers in different languages of their songs, right?
Well, that's like, and that's fine, because like, and I understand that, because we're in the World Showcase, and like, they should be representing the countries. Even like Illuminations, they would say it like hello in each language at certain points. Like, that's true, like that's remember true. That? So that's fine. But I think with Enchantment, they had like full like covers of songs, and you were just like, just play the real fucking thing. Like, don't play like a cover of Let It Go. Like, you can play Let It Go. You're allowed.
Mm-hmm.
Weird. So I think I've heard sort of mixed reviews about Luminous. Like, not bad, but not great.
Yeah, I'm excited to see it. I think that it's maybe like a step back as far as like giant technological advances in comparison to Harmonious, or like, I mean, the show, Disneyland's or DCA's color, what's it called? Oh man, I'm having
World of Color.
World of Color. Thank you. Is like a spectacular show, right? Like it's really beautiful and fairly simple, like simple looking, but it really evokes emotion, and it's got great sounds, and it really is like beautiful, but you're also like really close to it. You know, it's happening 50 feet in front of you. On a windy day, you might get wet, you know, from like one of the big fountains. But this is, seems to be like kind of pulling from the World of Color playbook, but it's, you know, much bigger because it's happening 200 feet from you in the middle of the lagoon. So I'm interested to see, you know, like what it's going to look like. And then sound wise, I've heard that the, you know, the luminous story of us, right? Is that what it is?
Yeah.
The symphony of us. It's like it's telling the story of the human life, right? From birth to death and all the ups and downs, the valleys and things like that. Which, you know, I kind of dig. And so, you know, we've got stuff from Tarzan, from Coco, Toy Story, Aladdin. So, like, you're starting, you know, like, in the early years, you have You'll Be My Heart, which is the Phil Collins song from Tarzan with, like, the little baby. And then Proud Corazon is, like, you know, you as a young child, like, you know, like, the proud heart of the family. And then you've got A Friend in Me and Friend Like Me from Aladdin as, like, you know, like getting friends when you're young. And then Falling in Love with So Close from Enchanted and When She Loved Me, which is
a beautiful, sad song.
I love that song. From which is, we'll just play a little bit. Why not? From Sarah McLachlan. And
somebody loved me, everything was beautiful.
What is this?
I'm not positive which Toy Story this is from. I think maybe Toy Story 2. I think from Toy Story 2.
Yeah, that's a pretty song.
Yeah, very pretty.
Champion song. I love that song.
Sarah McLachlan's good at the tearjerkers, right? She's got the one with the dying dogs that.
Oh, that's horrible. Yeah, yeah.
Broken everybody's heart.
As you're naming all this stuff, and this is, I think, a problem people have, specifically with Epcot nighttime shows, mm-hmm. is like We Go On is nothing about a Disney movie. And it's about like the sort of purpose of Epcot, you know, this whole like, you know, evolution and, you know, We Go On and we, you know, and I think a problem that people have with them doing this at Epcot is it just becomes like Magic Kingdom West because they do it at Magic Kingdom, which makes sense. You got the castle, you know, you want to play all these like, you want to play all these Disney songs. It fits, but does it fit at Epcot?
I mean, I think that it would be nice if they had some either like it doesn't have, it could be like big name stars that do the music and do the songs, but that they're made just for this kind of like the, you know, the We Go On where it's, is that what it is? We Go On. Did I butcher the name of the song we just played?
No, We Go On. Yeah.
Okay, cool. So like kind of like that, where it's like, it's not known for anything other than this. Right. So like it, this is what it evokes. And like, you can look forward to hearing that song. Like you almost couldn't like make your trip so that you go and hear that song. I think that, you know, like there's people that do that with Happily Ever After, right? Like the opening song is like, you can only hear it really there, that or on, you know, YouTube.
Right. Well, I think that's what's special. That's what makes it special about it. And that's what makes you like associate it with the parks as opposed to like, I won't associate You'll Be in My Heart with Epcot. Like, I associate that with Phil Collins and Tarzan.
Yeah.
But, like, We Go On, I associate with Epcot. It's Epcot's song.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like that's one of the, like we were talking, I think it was you, was it you and I? Or we were talking about how, like, why don't they just hire some really good songwriters to create original music for the parks?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, that's what we want.
Especially this park. I mean, like, you know, I kind of feel like, you know, Hollywood studios can use Hollywood songs. They evoke Hollywood imagery, blah, 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 blah. Magic Kingdom can use the songs from all of their movies because it is that place, you know?
It's a fairy tale land. Yeah.
But this and Animal Kingdom should have original music that is made for these places.
Agreed. It needs original music because it, like, those are two specific parks where you feel like inspired. Like, when I go to Epcot, I want, like, that's why I always used to be, like, I would sit and listen to the Epcot entrance music all day long. Because it made me so energized and inspired.
100%.
Like, it was, and I feel like I'm not getting that from these shows using this. It feels lazy to me. And I'm sure it's not. I mean, I'm sure it's, they're putting on an amazing production nightly of fireworks and drones and whatever they're using. I don't know. But it feels lazy to just say, like, well, you know what we're going to use? We're going to use You'll Be in My Heart. Instead of being like, you know what? We want a song here that's about the world and how we all come together as, you know, like, we're not just one place, we're all places, and we're all, like, I want something like that.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
So I think that I honestly believe the issue with Disney shows lately is not the fireworks.
No, that part's great.
It's the music. What?
That part's great.
The fireworks are great. Cause I know some people say, like, oh, they're lying too much on projections. The projections are great. Like I like the projections. I just think it's the problem is the music. The music is what, like, I don't remember, like, Illumination's, like, beat for beat with the fireworks. I remember it for the soundtrack.
Yeah, agreed.
So I think that that's where I wish that when I was hoping for with this show was there was going to be an original song.
And I think that there is an original, like, maybe it's just orchestral. I'm not positive. It's, you know, it's not released yet out, and I have not done a spoiler yet. So I only know, like, the songs that are put on Spotify for it. So I do think that there is, like, at least, like, an orchestral, like, opening and closing to it.
Okay.
That is its own song, but I don't know it yet. So I think we're speaking maybe a little out of turn because it's so new.
Right.
But we'll both be there before not so long, and we'll have our own opinions fully on
it. Yeah, and let us know, like, if you want to respond to us or email us, like, what are your thoughts on the new show?
Yeah.
I'm kind of just going off of reviews from friends of, I just, like, I know when something's great because, like, my Disney friends are like, this is freaking great. And I know when something's, like, I'm getting a lot of, like,
mid.
Fine. It's good.
Yeah. What I mean, I'm very happy that the Stargate and tacos are not in the lagoon.
Yes.
So, I mean, that was
smart. That, because it is nice to see, you know, see the American Pavilion from the other side.
Yeah,
I mean, and for a long time,
as an architect, you know, like, and I deal with engineering all the time, and like, and I don't think it was never the idea that was supposed to stay out there. It was just all of a sudden they were forced into it as, like, this is not able to move as fast as we thought that we could make it move, or we can't get it underneath the bridge, or we can't, you know, it, something about it. You don't spend that kind of money with the intention of leaving it out there. They want,
right.
You know, like, there was some kind of, like, structural reason or, like, some kind of snag that they ran into.
Right.
And then they were like, okay, well, we'll just put fountains all over it. And we all know how well that worked out horribly.
Do you think that there should be, I mean, I know if there's Fantasmic, but do you think that there should be a nighttime fireworks show at Hollywood Studios that is, like, so Universal has this, a lot of people don't know, but it's a sleeper. They have a nighttime show that uses the movie soundtracks.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And really good. In the lagoon with, like, with big spray screens.
It's nice. Really good.
Yeah. It's nice.
It's not, a lot of people don't talk about it, but it's nice. I feel like that's something missing from that park is, like, from Hollywood Studios. Like, they have an opportunity here to, like, use movies. I'm talking, like, Indiana Jones, like the feature films, not the animations, like, that they have IP for, Star Wars, all these things, to make, like, a really incredible nighttime show at the Chinese theater.
Yeah. I mean, they've done them in the past. I've definitely watched.
Yeah. They shows did like the Star past. Wars one.
Yeah. I mean, a Fantasmic is so fantastic that,
yes.
You know, I like that as the show for sure.
Yeah, but the thing about Fantasmic is, like, it's a theater show, so it's like, like, it, you have to get there. You have to get in line. You have to get you, which I and you get a seat. I love that. But I think there should be like a 10-minute, like, it's not to be long, like a 10-minute show that is the last thing to play at Hollywood Studios. Like, yeah, and it's
kiss,
just like
a little kiss goodnight.
Yeah, it plays the Indiana Jones music and that type of stuff, and you just sort of are left with the memory of that park being Hollywood Studios, because Fantasmic is, again, it's a Disney show. It's
That's true. It's Disney.
You know, and so I think I like these shows. That's why I think I'm disappointed in like Epcot using Disney music, because I like these shows to just feel like the park that they're in. And like they've kind of just been like, we're just going to make shows that are just, you know, Disney animation shows with music from Disney.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you, and I don't like the homogenization of the parks that's, like, you know, been going down and probably will continue going down, where it just all feels like one thing.
The same thing.
You know, if you want that, then, you know, make another Magic Kingdom somewhere, you know, if you really want that.
That's what they – it seems like that, right? Like, they just want everything to be, like, Magic Kingdom. Like, it's – And it's like Magic Kingdom should be Magic Kingdom, and it should be the only place that you get Magic Kingdom.
That's what I think.
And that would make Magic Kingdom special. But if it's Magic Kingdom has a show with Disney songs, and then Epcot's got a show with Disney songs, and then Hollywood Studios has got Fantasmic with Disney songs, it's like, what is different at this point?
Yeah, I mean, like, when I go on vacation, how do I differentiate Tuesday from Wednesday? You know, if they felt the same. They gave me the same thing.
And it used to be like, speaking of childhood, like when you had your Epcot day, hypothetically, like you were
boring.
In a different, you were in a different mode than you were in your Magic Kingdom day.
Yeah. For
because
sure.
It felt so different. Like you were like, even the way you dressed and the way you like felt that day was different because they were so different and they're just becoming so similar. We've got Moana, Journey of Water.
I would say Hollywood Studios the same. You know, like going to MGM felt like a different, like they each felt like their own different thing. I think now Animal Kingdom is really the only one that's like holding on to that.
True.
And even with that one, you know, I mean, we're putting IP in, you know, I mean, Pandora, as much as I love it, you know, would be just as at home in Hollywood Studios as it is in Animal Kingdom.
100%. Yeah. And like when they do their like projection thing on the Tree of Life, it's of course always the Lion King. And like I don't know. They're doing this sort of the similar. When they had that Rivers of Light show, that was not Disney. Like it felt like a different thing.
Yeah. But it was a big flop, right? So. Maybe
it's a big flop, which I don't understand. I never understood that.
I do feel that like that might be part of the problem is that, you know, all of the feedback that they're getting is, you know, I want more Mickey, I want more, you know.
That's true. And they did get that a lot. They do get that feedback a lot. And I hate those people.
I think that they might just not know. You know, they might not know any better, and that's their gut reaction is like, oh, I came here to see Frozen. My kid loves Frozen, and you know, I'm not a big Disney fan, but I expect some Frozen when I get here.
Sure. It makes sense.
Yeah. Maybe not cater to the lowest common denominator. You know. So, I mean, like, you know, like reach to be better is all I'm saying. You know what I mean? Like
reach. Yeah. And like, you know, again, it goes back to if you want to create people that are really into this stuff, you have to make it something special that's very specific to that place. Because like you said, you can only get it otherwise on YouTube. You're not hearing it on the radio. You're not watching it in Disney movies.
Yeah.
You're only getting it in the parks. And that's what makes it special. So, yeah, so we just wanted to have, like, a conversation about, like, these nighttime shows and what kind of, like, that's sort of, like, the end of the night experience. And this is, like, the end of end of the year discussion about it. And I don't know. What do you guys think out there? Are we way off base here? I'm curious what people think about this.
I want to know too.
Yeah.
I think that our fans probably are along the same, at least on the same page of the book that we're on.
I think the people that listen to podcasts are more like us.
But tell me what your Aunt Linda thinks. That's what I want to know. Oh. I want to know all about Aunt Linda.
Or I can just go on her Facebook and find out. It doesn't matter.
How about let's talk more about us.
Yes.
Adrian, what were your favorite episodes this year?
So we had a lot of great episodes this year. Mm-hmm. Some of my favorites, I have to say, is one of them, and we got a lot of great feedback on it because I think a lot of people related to it. It wasn't Disney related. It was Cruise Ship Foes.
Yes.
The story of what happened on the with the planes and everything on the cruise ship. And
that was a wonderful story.
It was a crazy story, and I felt like a lot of people related to it. I couldn't believe it. I thought we're not talking about Disney, and people are not going to like that. But I really enjoyed that.
Airport Woes and Cruise Ship Foes from back in August.
Yes, I'm just going to tell you like my four like, and then you go. These are four that just stood out to me, episodes that I really enjoyed. I really enjoyed the episode with Emily about what it's like to move to Orlando.
That was interesting.
As somebody that's thought about it, it was nice to hear, like, at the forefront, somebody who did it. Like, she literally moved from where we live, New York, to Orlando during the pandemic, and I thought she brought up a lot of really good, like, points. I mentioned things she said on that episode a lot to different people, so I really liked that.
That was back in September. A&R Orlando to move or shake with Magic at Emily. At Magic with Emily.
At Magic with Emily. I think that's a good one. If you've ever thought about it, if you've ever been like, what is it like to live near the place that you love? I think it's a great lesson.
Yeah, that was super interesting.
I really enjoyed your tripping report this year, Ryan.
Thank you.
I put that on my list because I think you did a really good job. You were very thorough. You walked through everything and you talked about something that I've never experienced, Halloween Horror Nights. And I felt like I was there because it was, you really like, and I think you showed people a different way to do it as someone that didn't do it before. I think you were successful at making, you know, the most out of your time there.
Thanks. Yeah. I look back at that night with, like zero regrets, which, you know, it's not always the easiest thing to, you know, you look back at your trip, you're like, oh, I wish I did this differently or did that or whatever. That specific night, I'm like, okay, we did that right. We were on board.
Yeah. And my last of my top four, is Trail's End of an Era.
Yes. That's on my list too.
That was a episode we did about Trails End, which was a restaurant at Fort Wilderness closing. I love the name, but Trails End of an Era, because it's perfect. But also, that was a restaurant that we both really enjoyed and really loved, and then it's gone. And I have not been to Fort Wilderness since it's left, because it was something that sort of took me to Fort Wilderness, and it being gone, like, I really don't have a reason to go there. Because I'm not going to hoop-de-doo review on a whim, and it's not easy to get around the place if you're not staying there. So it's a sentimental episode. But so those are going to be the four that kind of stood out for me. What about you?
For me, I liked – I miss our in-the-car eps. You know, they were weird and, like, kind of chaotic. And I liked those quite a bit. Those were really fun. I had the Trail's End. I liked our Battle of the Q's and A's. That was fun, where we talked about, you know, like, what are the best Q's in the park. I loved our recent Band at Disney episode, where we talked to tour guide Barbie and find out all about that situation. It was very interesting.
I wrote another one down. Sorry, I'll go back to it. Sorry. But yeah, I agree. On the tour guide Barbie one was really good, and that one everyone should listen to. Very topical, very right now, and they were excellent guests.
Yeah, and then speaking of excellent guests, the Wave Pools and O'Douls episode, a water park adventure, where we talk to
Holly,
and learn all about what it is to run a water park was really interesting and cool, and like, you know, just being able to talk to these people, I never really thought that I would have that opportunity. So that was super cool.
Yeah, she's great. She's a good friend of mine, and yeah, that was a really interesting thing to hear about. Like, it's like hearing from somebody that, like, you know, runs something that you just think is very like untouchable and sort of like you wouldn't know somebody on the ground doing that. So I also liked our the Disney Adult Hate episode. I forgot to mention that.
That was fun too. Yeah.
Where we talked about the Matt Walsh thing. I thought that was a really good episode.
Speaking of, like, you know, like through our Spotify, we get like all of this like analytical information. So I'll just kind of share some with people. Our top episode this year that everybody seemed to love was our resort roundup of the Grand Floridian Resort and Spa with
our guest Mike Molinari, really good friend. Yeah, that was the number one episode. Congrats, Mike.
Yeah, wonderful show. And it, I mean, like, it was streamed like over 300% more than our average episode. So it was like,
yeah,
it was really popular. So we had a bunch of new fans this year. 73% of our listeners discovered us in 2023. So again, thank you so much for sharing. Please continue to share us.
You know, a lot. 73%. Wow. Yep.
And that would be wonderful if we could, you know, every year have 73% of new people. That would be incredible. what other fun stuff we're super global at this point. We're all over the world.
Oh.
We were streamed in 16 different countries.
Hello.
Let's see. The number one countries that we were listened to is in the United States and the UK.
Sounds about right.
That's pretty normal. That's kind of how it's been. Yeah.
What about Canada? Where's our Canadian friends?
I mean, they're there. They're definitely there, but maybe not in the top two.
Oh, okay. Okay.
All of our fans, or I guess most of our fans, their top genres in podcasts were number one, society and culture, number two, comedy, number three, TV and film, and that I think that works pretty well with our audience, with what we're putting down.
I also want to say, like, on this topic, we got so many people who sent us their Spotify Wrapped of us being in their top podcasts. Some that come to mind, Nick Daniels, Nika, it's at NICADANIELS. I save these as screenshots. Ghost at Ghost Moon 111 shared that. And then there was a couple others. Those are the ones I have as screenshots, but there was a couple others. But thank you guys for sharing that we were in your top five podcasts. Yeah. I really, really appreciate
that. So amazing to see. Last little factoid about the podcast this year is that our rating was a 5.0, which is amazing, and it's up from a 4.9 from last year. So thank you so much for all of those reviews and ratings. Like we always say at the end of every episode, it's super helpful, and it really does mean a lot. And if you can just keep doing it, we'd really appreciate it, and we'll keep making these as long as you keep on pushing us forward and making it something worthwhile to do.
Yeah, and we hope everyone had a wonderful holiday, a wonderful Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa. We hope you all have a very happy new year, and we'll see you all in 2024.
Yes.
For more Dark Ride. The Dark Ride, presented by Drunk Distory, is available every Wednesday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever else podcasts are available. The show is free. But you can thank us by simply liking and subscribing, giving us that 4-star rating review, or just telling a fellow theme parks loving fan to listen. Share it to your stories. Keep those reviews coming. We really, really need them. You can email us questions or shout outs at drunkdistory@gmail.com. Follow us on social media at the Dark Ride Podcast on Instagram and at Drunk Distory on TikTok. That's it for us this year. But as always, thanks for drinking theme parks with us. Happy New Year.
2023 season comes to an end. Good night.
Rise when I gave the word. Now